We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Robert Spencer joins us for the last 10 minutes of the program, talking about two stories, one of them almost gruesome beyond description. There's no sense in describing it, except to say that a Catholic priest recently on video with pictures being taken by all those around with the shouts of Allah is great, is beheaded. Not the first, perhaps, and certainly not the last of one of these gruesome executions that we will see at the hands of Muslims. There in Syria, among the rebels, also the violence that continues to erupt in Egypt with a 48-hour ultimatum issued by the Egyptian army saying that the violence must cease or the army is going to, I guess, impose martial law. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's director of Jihad Watch and he's author of several books, including his latest, Did Muhammad Exist? And Not Peace But a Sword. Robert, welcome back.
Todd, always good to be here. Thank you.
We are horrified and we are mystified by these acts of beheading that we see on the part of Islamic groups. What significance does the beheading of prisoners or, in this case, a Roman Catholic priest, what significance does that have in the teaching of Islam?
It's in the Quran, Todd, like so many things that we see the jihadis do. The Quran in chapter 47, verse 4, it says, "When you meet the unbelievers, strike at their necks." And that is often, actually universally interpreted by Islamic authorities as meaning that it is good and meritorious to behead one's foes when they are encountered. And so also the Quran says that Allah will meet the unbelievers in battle. This is chapter 8, verse 12, and strike at their necks and fingertips. And so I'm reminded of a very strange case in New Jersey where a couple of Coptic Christians were beheaded and their fingertips were cut off. And the police were baffled, and I was thinking, well, that's because they don't know anything about the Quran. This was clearly an Islamically motivated killing, as was the killing of this priest in Syria last week.
And it's impossible not to hear the cries of Allah is great and wonder, are these Syrian rebels, as they're being referred to in the press, are they the street of Islam? Are they a particularly rabid group of Islamic extremists, as often the term is used in the press as well?
Todd, you know, we're constantly told that these people are a tiny minority of extremists, but even the New York Times, which has no interest in publicizing news like this that might make Barack Obama look bad, has acknowledged that there is no significant secular fighting force among the Syrian rebels. That means they're all Islamic jihadis. They're all tied with al-Qaeda. So they're all the tiny minority of extremists. This shows just how mainstream this movement is within Islam. Because they appeal to the Quran, because they appeal to the words of Muhammad, they are able to gain recruits among peaceful Muslims and justify their actions in a way that peaceful Muslims and moderate Muslims are not able to do.
As far as we can tell, in Syria, what is the goal of this kind of violence?
Well, it's to strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah, which is another quote from the Quran, chapter 8, verse 60, in order to ultimately to neutralize them and subjugate them under the rule of Islamic law.
So it simply isn't to execute someone under some sort of misconceived notion of like a legal execution would be. This is intended to scream a message loud and clear.
Yeah, it's very important to note that this priest is not accused of having done anything except be a non-Muslim and to be a Christian cleric, and that's enough. As far as the Islamic jihadis are concerned, to make him guilty and to make him somebody that is useful as a symbol when he's murdered so that the other Christians will see, you better not resist us, you better go along, you better submit to our rule because this is what's going to happen.
Now, were it not for the Vatican chiming in on this, making some statements in the press after the killing of this priest, which they do you think that we'd be talking about it? Do you think it would be a story that we would be hearing about?
I would doubt it. there has been escalating persecution of Christians all around the world over the last few years, in Nigeria, in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Syria and Iraq, in Indonesia and elsewhere. And pretty much nothing has been said or done. And so it's only very recently that we see people starting to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, this is something perhaps that deserves greater notice. And it's gratifying to see the Vatican do it. Many people have been frustrated for many years about the Vatican's silence over the persecution of Christians worldwide.
Is the goal to drive Christians or other non-Muslim religious believers out of Syria?
No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, the Melkite Greek Catholic Patriarch of Antioch, Gregory III Lahem, the Melkite Greek Catholic Church is one of the ancient churches going back to the time of the apostles in the Middle East. And Gregory III Lahem said in an interview as far back as 2006 that there was a concerted effort to drive all the Christians out of the Middle East and to enforce by the force of arms the idea that to be Arab is to be Muslim. And so the Christian Arabs were going to be driven out altogether.
After that, what would be, I mean, it's not simply ridding the region of any kind of Christian population. Are there, can we surmise goals beyond that?
Well, the idea is that in an Islamic state, the Muslims reign supreme and they have rights and privileges that the non-Muslims do not have. And that ultimately they can restore those rights and privileges by converting to Islam. And so there is a tremendous intolerance, although we hear so much about Islamic tolerance, actually there's a tremendous intolerance at the heart of Islam and an hatred for the other that makes it so that when we are in these times of the increased assertiveness of Islam and the increased desire to impose Islamic law, the minorities, the religious minorities, that is, are at a serious disadvantage and are victimized in every which way with the ultimate intention of having them convert to Islam or leave the country.
Are we seeing pretty much the same thing in a different form in Egypt?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And there are many, many Coptic Christians who have said there's no future for us in this country as long as the Muslim Brotherhood remains in power for the same reason.
The latest headline is that the army has given the protests a 48-hour ultimatum before they impose some kind of martial law, I suppose. What's going on there?
Well, it could be the end of the Muslim Brotherhood regime, and that's a consummation devoutly to be wished, I assure you. The military is acting in the interests of the many millions of Egyptians who may indeed be a majority, although I'm not sure that they are, who don't want Islamic law in Egypt and have viewed the Islamization of Egypt with alarm. That includes the Christians of Egypt, as well as many others, secularists, who were comfortable under Mubarak, not because Mubarak was not a brutal dictator in many ways, but because he did not enforce Islamic laws, provisions institutionalizing the oppression of women, institutionalizing the oppression of non-Muslims, and so on. And they want to see Egypt go in that direction. The military coup that is in the offing now could be exactly a move in that direction.
So while we wouldn't want to see a military coup and be the order of the day any place, this one may actually turn back the clock on the Muslim Brotherhood's stranglehold on that country.
Yeah, it could actually end up meaning that there will be greater freedom for the Egyptians in the long run.
But how would you expect, given the track record, how would you expect Western states, and in particular the current administration of the United States, to react if the military were to impose martial law in Egypt?
Oh, I think that there will be a tremendous negative reaction, that Barack Obama will issue strong protests. He might even intervene militarily on the side of the Brotherhood, not just because he's shown a clear affinity for the Brotherhood all along, but also because he is firmly committed to democracy as he sees it, which is just majority rule. And he would rather have an elected government like the Muslim Brotherhood, even though it is so obviously despised by an overwhelming number of Egyptians, than a military coup that is not democratically elected.
How do you think it's going to come out with about a minute here, Robert?
I think it's we're not going to avoid larger conflict here, Todd. I'm sorry to say. I don't see Egypt having some sort of a peaceful solution to this. The Salafists, that is even more hardline Muslims than the Muslim Brotherhood, are dissatisfied with Brotherhood rule. And then on the other side, you've got secularists and Christians. I don't see peace for Egypt, and that's going to engulf the entire region and maybe the world.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books, including his latest, Did Muhammad Exist? And Not Peace, But a Sword. You'll find links to these books and to Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the teachings of Deepak Chopra with Christian apologist Robert Velarde. Also tomorrow, we'll talk with Pastor John Ferguson of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis about Luke chapter 10, the first 11 verses, Jesus sending out the 72. It's a new month, July, and we have a new Issues Etc. book of the month. Martin Luther is not generally known for his political writings, although he was both the product and the producer of many ideas that have been very enduring in the political realm. There's a new book from Concordia Publishing House. It's called Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther, giving you a chance to explore how it is that the canon of Western political thought has been misrepresented in Luther. Often misrepresented, misunderstood because of the political, the historical distance between us. But this book sheds some new light on the political thought of Martin Luther, a man in his own history, but a contributor to the way that the Western world has thought about politics and, in particular, God's rule through two kingdoms. It's called Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther. Find out more about it at our website. It's the New Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Divine Kingdom, Holy Order. You can also browse at our website or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask them for the New Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, 1-800-325-3040. The danger is always there that we fear, either politically or religiously, that Islam, because it is so determined, because it is so violent, because it is so ruthless, that it must somehow eventually have the upper hand. I do not believe it will. Oh, not ultimately, maybe in the short term, but not in the long term. Islam is not the move of God, but of the devil. So we need not fear. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.